some of the most exciting acts you've seen through? Because you really have seen just about everybody.
Yeah, there's very few who haven't come through here.
Yeah.
And quite a few Americans, because we have a nice reputation, and I have contacts in the West and East Coast, so when American comics are coming over here to do a TV, they'll often, you know, put a secret one in a few days before to check material. I mean, Jon Stewart, who did the Oscars last night, was here a year and a half ago with a very squidgy bottom. He was very ill, but he still went on. It was very good. Yeah.
And so have you got any names of people that particularly stood out? I mean, people from the past or whatever.
No, I mean, there's... You see people develop. I mean, Harry Hill used to do a sketch show down here on Wednesday nights, and we're talking 20 years ago, under the name Matthew Hill, Matthew Hall, which is his name, and he, on the sketches, decided to create this character called Boutros Ghali, who was, and then this sort of strange character, and then he found a suit, an old suit that was a bit tight, and a big collar, and that became Harry Hill. And watching that develop and then finding his voice. And Eddie Izzard struggled. He was an escapologist, so there you go, that's a misnomer in itself. He was a street entertainer and he worked in a double act and he came down here and you could see the kernel of something there, but it wasn't working when it started. People were just thinking, you're rambling, you know, it's not making any sense. Those of us in the room who have some affinity with the form, I suppose, could see what he was trying to do. And he was very clever, you know, you probably know the story of him booking a theatre, you know, a long run in a theatre, with no real form at that time. And the big thing that he made up was he would never do television, which was, of course, a red rag to the press, because they all went and reviewed him, quite rightly. They became a star overnight.
But so many people who don't know about comedy when they go and see a show, they would still say it's rambling. But actually, when you know comedy now, it's got a real sense.
So is Ross Noble, so is Dylan. You know, these are styles that people have. You know? You could look at Stephen Wright in the USA and say, well, he's a dishevelled, sort of mumbling character. But it's so precise.
Absolutely, not a wasted word.
Exactly.
And do you have any preferences on the sort of comedy that you like?
Nude comedy.
Naked comedy.
Yes, that's my favourite. No, I don't mind anything. No, not at all. I think it's just finding your voice, you know. I enjoy the way that that people find a way of letting you into their world and finding a way that they can express the world in their terms. Now, whether that's through clever wordplay, or by being a vulnerable sort of character on stage.
Or whether it's sketches, or storytelling, or as many different mediums as possible.
I think it keeps me young, because, you know, I'm 108 now. I think, you know, it's the old thing. They have proved that laughter, you know, is good for you. But you wouldn't know from the look on some of the people who come here.
No, but they're generally, the downstairs, the King's Head audience is known to be very, you know, comedy...
Literate.
Comedy literate, but also they come down to have a good time. They don't come down to tear things apart.
The room, excuse me, the room should dictate that.
Because there are some clubs where the audience is actually encouraged to tear apart.
Yeah, but you know, I don't have a problem with that if that's what other people want to do. It's not what I want to do. And I've seen acts come here, you know, looking forward to this gig because it is nice. And they've made the mistake of thinking it's going to be rollover easy. And
it's not.
And they've had a tough one. Or they've bowled in too hard because they've just done a run of gigs in other venues that are bear pits. You know? Mm. And they've gone out all guns blazing and the audience here is going, why? We haven't been nasty to you.
Because you don't actually have a stage, you have a stage area on the floor, which is puts the audience on a par with the act.
Yeah.
And so, again, you're much more standing up. Like, it's almost as if you were in a bar chatting to mates.
Yeah. Well, that's why Hugh was here for 20 years or so as the regular compere. And it it, you know, it feels so comfortable in a room like this when you do it week in, week out. It becomes yours. And I'm doing that now with Dominic Frisbee, who's sort of becoming the sort of, you know, 2.5 times out of 4, you'll see him down here as a regular compo on a Saturday night. But he's now feels so comfortable in this room that he doesn't have to do material. He can just chat and just play the audience.
So, and have fun.
Yeah.
And you've got lots of other places as well, like
lots of some. I book for other places. I do some bookings for local authority theatres and stuff out of town.
And the festival in Ireland?
Yeah, I helped set that up with Noel Faulkner, who's the other sort of end, the British end of that, although he's Irish.
Who runs the Combi Cat?
Yeah. We, 11 years ago now, set up the Cat Laughs Festival in Kilkenny, which is now up and running and doesn't really need our input anymore. Funnily enough, part of my involvement with that was administrative. It's just the practicalities of setting up a festival like that. You know, there was no end of names that we could invite. But it was more to do with finding venues and talking with the city fathers, especially after the first year, which made a loss. Convincing them that it was good for the long run, and now it's the main festival in Ireland.
And do you go to other places like Edinburgh and
Aspen,
competitions or, and stuff
like that?
It's
not Aspen anymore, but the HBO Comedy Festival in America, which was at Aspen, is now in Las Vegas. I try and go out there once a year.
You do try and go out there? And
not so much now because I've got kids and I like to go home and hit them.
Frequently and often.
Yes. I've got 3 boys and I don't like any of them.
Getting in the way of my girl pulling chances.
No, my eldest now, he's just got his eyes on the car next month. He's to start driving, he's frightened.
So when you're going to these festivals, are you looking for talent? Are you
networking? No, having fun.
Right.
Purely that. Unless I'm there for a reason, which is usually something to do with the festival itself, rather than I go up to Edinburgh if I'm paid to, and more often than not it's because I'm doing the legwork on a charity show or something like that. Just, the thing is, I've been here long enough that most people know me, and if you're doing a gig out of town, it's nice to see a face and know that I can look after people. You turn up to do a gig somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Safe pair of hands.
Yeah, and I don't. There's lots of other people who book rooms around the country and don't have an active role in it, and I do. I don't do gigs that I can't be at. Music wise, I can do that. I can book a band in knowing that's fine. But comedy, I make sure the rooms run properly, that the setup is correct.
And you have no temptation to do comedy yourself?
No. I think it's. I'm extremely funny.
I know.
I think it's a different thing one need to stand and take control in front of an audience like that. It's a very lonely place. Yeah.
And what do you think makes you you probably would hate the word, but a good promoter? What do you think?
Making sure all the seats point in the right direction. There's a mic that works.
There are lots of people who do that and they're still rubbish.
I think you have to care for it. You really do, and I think you have to care for your audience, and I think you have to care for your performers. We pay as well as we can, which isn't much, but people know that's what it is.
We've got some people listening in places like North Korea or Manila.
Yeah, Kapsahamnida.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, if they wouldn't obviously be able to be here to see what happens, what would you say to them if they wanted to set up a comedy club and they were just like completely raw?
It's very difficult that because there are cultural differences from country to country on how comedy works and what the expectations are. I think it's very important in any good show to have a host, a compere, MC, whatever you want to call it, who leads you into the evening and is your guide and host the evening and says goodnight at the end of the evening. And within that parameter, if that person is genial and friendly enough to 500 people or 10 people and chance that the show will work, even if acts aren't as strong as it could be.
Yeah, if they're just starting out. And what, you would just sort of start off with maybe eight people doing 5 minutes each, or...
Well, if you were setting
it
around club...
If you were completely setting up, you know, if you wanted to set up...
Well, I mean, the normal... If you wanted to make a club work, you would normally, perhaps in the first few shows, have a few known names to attract an audience. The shape of a club always is that you set a room up, the first two or three shows often go well, because you've put the word out amongst your friends, you've publicised, and then there is a dip for many months. And keep quality up, you know, care for it, and you should know within a year whether it can stay there, it's got legs, and within 18 months to 2 years whether it will stay there forever. And the other clubs that I'm involved with are looking like staying there forever, because that's the input, you know.
Because I feel that the most successful clubs are ones that the promoter, whether they're the MC as well or not, has put a very strong sense of themselves, their own character into it.
But I don't know what my character is, you know, if that's the case. I think I put my love into this, you know. I actually do like doing it. But I don't know what my character is.
I do. I'm on the other side of the fence, it's easier. But there's some clubs where, you know, they have the... You'll have a lot of changing MCs. They'll be very, very different from each other. The billing will be, you know, completely erratic, and I think that becomes hard to build an audience around.
I think those are people who are looking at running a club and getting it full every week for whatever reason. But that's, you know, I still try and put bills together here that I think are various, and I'd like to see, you know. I don't look at my diaries and go, oh, that looks rough, that one. And at the same time, I don't look at my diaries and go, wow, five, you know, big, stonking names, because I haven't put a show together for that reason.
Because, there are some promoters that we know about, for instance, that will sort of go, oh, we'll get rid of that act for the next week because there's someone who's just been on TV.
And there are also other promoters who put names on publicity that they haven't even contacted. You know? that shows a disregard for your audience, because you soon get found out.
Because that, to me, is what makes a club have some longevity, and that is putting the stamp of your character on it, is by saying, this is the way I think the club is going to work, and I'm not going to just suddenly buy in a name because they've been on the telly, good, bad or indifferent, or whatever it might be.
Yes, I suppose on the Thursday nights where we see 16 acts doing 5 minutes each, I do try and bleed in new compares on that night. But I read them the riot act beforehand, which is, you know, make sure the audience knows the shape of the evening, what the evening's about, that it's not a competition, so there's no sort of winner at the end of this, that there's a mixture of abilities and experience and styles, and it doesn't matter if you don't like one, you know, be
There'll
supportive.
Be another one along in a minute.
Yeah, be supportive. You know, give them lots of attention and love, you know, and that makes the evening work.
Because you don't like competitions, do you?
No.
Why?
It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, how can you say that one joke's funnier than another? I can understand that it gives people a leg up and a little publicity, but there's so many duff competitions around anyway, run by piss poor clubs. You know? For piss poor comics. And what does it do for them?
You
know,
see them again.
They get £250 or something. What's the point of that? You trawl through all these dreadful nights in front of other comics and nobody else. I don't see what you learn from that. You know, just get out there and do it. If you're good, you will rise up through the ranks.
And even if you're bad, if you keep doing it, you will get better.
You could get better.
Generally.
You'll help.
Yes, there are a couple of bits. I would say those are what I would call care in the community.
So yes, but I've no problem with them performing as many times as they like. You know, as long as they don't overstep the mark with, you know. some of the practical things, like overstaying their time on stage.
Hitting the audience.
Hitting the audience.
Not a popular one.
Yeah.
Taking their clothes off in the wrong way. Well, so we've got to open up now.
Yeah.
No, thanks very much, Hans. That was grand.
Okay, no.